Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Welcome to the podcast. We love hearing from you. 0484101045. You ever want to get in touch? That's what Kev from Yarrabilba did. We're talking a lot about beer today, Marto.
Well, it's just that Powers Beer is relaunching, well, if this being Wednesday night, and I just thought I'd tell a story. Bernie Powers, an old mate of mine, and
he's got nothing to do with it anymore.
No, so he said, and he didn't want to comment on the show this morning.
No, he said, I'm going to leave that up to Asahi.
I think he's got his nose out of joint, but that's another story again.
Well, I think he did an interview in 2005, I was reading, where he said, I should never have sold it.
2005?
He did an interview. He said, I should never have sold it to CUB.
Because they squashed him. When CUB took him over and they said, don't worry about that power stuff, they started trying to promote their own beer and the market went down.
Yeah.
Because people went, no, we don't want that southern shit.
Yeah.
So did they buy Powers to get rid of it, effectively, to squash it?
You know how that's a modern thing these days,
Just write it off. That,
what they wanted was the land down there near Yatala Pies, because that was near... we could go on forever.
Now, if I go downstairs today, Margo, and there's a ton of Powers beer in the back of Marto's ute, we know what's happened here. Are you on the take?
No, I'm not on the take. I swear to God.
Half an hour of the show to it today.
He's going to the event tonight.
He is.
Dobbo's hosting.
It was Remember Wednesday. Is Dobbo hosting? I don't know that I'll go now. I'm going there just out of supporting Powers.
Yes.
No, I've got no deal with him, no nothing.
I'm just on to you, mate.
I've got a beer with my own head on it. I don't need to mess around in the shallow end.
Beer for comment.
As you mentioned, Kev from Yarrabilba, because we were talking beer. He said, I remember getting stuck in a dad's Powers big red tallies.
Yeah, they made tallies.
As a 15-year-old, vomited into the case containing the cat's ashes, relieved myself on mum's new rug, and spent 3 days in bed.
Wow.
That should be
what
the
a
ad.
Night.
What a good ad for underage drinking.
vomited into the
case. And overage drinking too, mind you.
Containing the cat's ashes.
Relieved myself on mum's new rug
like
and
soup.
What a story. Did Kev go on to play rugby league after all that?
That's Kevy Walters.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
He's Laurie from North Lakes. Oh, he's got a Remember When story. Dad was a conqueror and he was always doing weekend jobs for cartons of beer. Of course he was. If it was a small job, he'd accept a carton of Powers Gold. A medium job was two cartons of Powers Gold. And I always knew if it was a big job, he'd come home with a carton of Powers White cans.
Oh, what were the white cans?
Oh, no, just the heavies, yeah. Oh, good Lord.
There you go.
Lucky you didn't get those big red tallies. Ooh, that sounded dangerous.
So have you built up the taste of Powers in your mind tonight for when you have that first sip at the relaunch? Will you be disappointed, do you think? Do you have good memories of it?
No.
No, so it's got a low bar to overcome.
Yeah. No expectations whatsoever. I can't remember ever sipping on a Powers and going, Jesus, that was good piss.
Can you bring some in
tomorrow?
Yeah.
Will you have a taste test?
Yeah, I'll have a taste. I'll do a shoey.
Will I bring a...
I'm kidding.
Will I bring a can of 4X
bring a can.
To compare or something like that?
Should we do a blind?
Yeah.
And Marto's Revel Brewery beer.
Oh, there.
Let's do a double blinded test.
How long... Can we just work out how long till Bill goes off? Is it 3 months? Because that stuff that was...
No, I don't think so.
Never hangs around long enough to find out, does it, Marto?
Well, mine normally doesn't, but I've got a carton of that hidden away and I can't remember where I put it.
In the fridge?
You on the sticker.
No,
that's a problem. Out is a problem, especially with all the humidity and heat we've had.
Yeah, I think it's over at Moreton Island.
I'm going there this weekend. I'll get it for you.
Oh, can you?
I'll bring it back.
Okay.
Yeah. Two cans. All that's left.
Well, that will delay our test, but, oh, God, we're hopeless.
0484101045 if you want to get in touch. Whatever people want to text us on the old burner phone.
Did you ask them something yesterday on the burner phone to get onto us about? Do you remember what we did?
I did. I can't remember what, though.
I don't listen.
I said let us know
what
you think.
No one did.
All right.
Anyone listening?
Hello. Is there anybody out there?
Good luck today. You'll hear a bit of this on the show,
too. Is that Pink Floyd?
Porphyry.
Yeah, Pink Floyd. Is anybody
out there? Oh, Porphyry.
Yeah, you've been a Porphyry on the show today.
Porphyry.
A bit of Porphyry in here, too. You two, stop it. I won't have any of it.
Nipple cribbles.
4 a.m. sharp tomorrow for our Porphyry.
For our early wrestle.
Yeah, Marto and I starting a bit of Porphyry.
30 minutes early.
Just mankini. We slip into the clothes before you support get here.
We'd invite you, but then it would become a straightery.
A three-tory.
A marge nage
toire. Yes, one
of those.
Margot
nage toire.
Oh.
Porphyry. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margot and Dan. Brisbane has.
partly cloudy, top of 29 today. Phones are open, 1-3-3-5-3 or the burner phone, 0484-10-1045. Thanks to everyone who's got in touch. Send us your questions now. Anything you want to know from David Crisafulli, the leader of the opposition.
What a pleasure. Hi, Dave.
Morning, Marto. Morning, Margo. And good morning, Anstey.
Hello.
Digital licences set to roll out this year, something that you're pushing for, David?
Very much so. And if I have a look across the border, there's 4.5 million of them already. Now, my clubbing days are well and truly behind me, but yeah. the young people, the cool people in my office say the biggest pain in the backside is having to carry a wallet around when you go into town. And the main reason is because of digital licences. Now, they were promised in 2017. That's 5 years ago now, and there still hasn't been a single one rolled out in Queensland. So we're pushing for it. We think it makes sense. It's a choice, right? Some people will say, no, I want the hard copy. That's great. Some people will say, I want it on my phone. I want the flexibility. And if it's good enough for New South Wales, it should be good enough for Queensland. So we're going to run a little campaign and see if we can generate a bit of energy and have a win on it.
So people will still have the choice to opt out if they choose to.
Yeah, that's how it should be, right? It should be choice. There'll be some people who are uncomfortable with it. There'll be some people who don't use technology. There'll be others who say this makes a heap of sense. And look, increasingly people are using their phones for banking, et cetera. And it's just one of those things that it gives people the flexibility to be able to keep your payments, keep your processes in one spot. Now, if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. But I think it's a modern part of doing business. And if you give people a choice, you should do that. And a promise was made over 5 years ago to do something about it. And we haven't seen it. We were told there was going to be a trial in Townsville last year that didn't eventuate. So we're doing what good opposition should do rather than just whinging and mope and carrying on. We're saying, okay, here's something that's been promised. Let's work together. Let's roll it out, give people the choice and see where it goes.
David, that's the fortuitous position you find yourself in. Good opposition should argue about common sense and things that the government don't want to talk about, like the youth crime crisis. This is what our audience is really red hot on, whether people are fearful or want to be vengeful or whatever. They want to sort this out. Is there any way you could represent the majority of people who want to get it sorted out rather than just silly legislative, we're making legislative changes? Can we make some proper changes? Can I start with one? Because I know we've got a few listeners who have got some suggestions for you as well. Why Please. Can't we hold parents? You know, if you're cruel to your dog and you're willfully neglect your dog, you can go to jail. Why can't we make parents of these kids, and it's only a small majority, before everyone goes, it's not all kids, we know that. It's only a small minority of them. Why don't we get those kids in a holding cell of some sort with their parents? You've got 24 hours to sort out. Do you want to be responsible and accountable for your kid, or do you want them to be taken out of your care and put in detention? What are you about, ready, Rick, about that for a starting point? Get the parents involved.
Yeah, well, everything should be on the table. And if you go chapter and verse on this, in 2015, a decision was taken to water down the Youth Justice Act. We listened to all the bleeding hearts.
Yes.
And we said that the best thing we would do is water it down. Now, as a result, some things changed, and I'll give you a couple of them. There were no more consequences for action. Breach of bail was no longer offence. Detention became a last resort. Now, when you do that, you send a signal to kids that, well, you're not going to be held accountable for what you do.
It's condoned almost.
Now, and you've created a generation of repeat hardcore young offenders. Now, I'm not going to walk away that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing more to help a young person early on in the crime.
That can be long term, but right
Absolutely.
Now, David, would you agree that the major job of the government is to keep the citizens safe?
Absolutely. Mm. And we heard a lot about that before the election, if you remember. There was a lot of talk about keeping people safe. Well, you're not very safe when some young thug's got a knife in your home. And look, I've been banging on about this for a long time. I started my time in North Queensland, and I saw what happened to Townsville.
Oh, Jesus, it's horrible.
Laws being changed. It ripped the city apart. But right now, it's everywhere, mate. In Toowoomba, 2 days ago, a 70-year-old man just got absolutely KO'd. That is wrong.
Well, we saw Emma Lovell as well, just here in Caboolture, north of Brisbane, over the Christmas period, you know, who was killed in her home.
Oh, God.
Well, you imagine her husband, Lee, you imagine the trauma that has caused.
Those children.
Go back, go back 2 years ago to the Field family with, you know, with the tragedy that happened in the Redlands, where, you know, a young couple with an unborn child just walking and some absolute lunatic out on bail, high on drugs. Like, what is going on?
David, the real people do not care about the Olympics and things like that. They care about immediately here, if they're safe, if their kids are safe. Can you represent any of this? Like, will anything happen in Parliament?
We're going to give it a red hot crack. And if the government doesn't listen, I can assure your listeners, I will be. And the commitment I make is we're going to try and force them to improve the act. Now, when this is about the sixth time the government said they're going to do something about the act. Every time we have said, righto, start with consequences for actions, start with breach of bail as an offence, and every time they've found a reason not to do it. Now, you will recall the last time we were here, they said that they were going to fit GPS trackers to these kids. We read the legislation and said, but the way it's written, a kid can say, I don't want to wear it as a defence. Well, fast forward 18 months, there's been less than 10 fitted, right? Now, despite that, we will back anything that brings about stronger laws. I just wish they weren't pig-headed and said, righto, we made a mistake with allowing bail conditions not to be accountable. We made a mistake with not making sure that people should have consequences for action. And until that changes, nothing will change. And this is the issue that people are talking about. They go to work, they pay their tax, and whether or not you wake up in the morning and your vehicle that you need to go to work isn't there, whether you wake up and your kids, you have to tell your child that some grub was in their room rifling through their belongings. Mm. And these are life-changing, and they're costly as well.
Well, Dave, I know you came to talk about digital licences, but the big story is youth crime, and we've got a few listeners want to ask specifics. They know you're going into Parliament when it starts again next week, and they want you to go armed with a few questions.
Well, Trevor from Compare Us said, will your government look to toughen rules around juveniles who breach bail? Which you've said yes. You answered, and you said you're going to put it to the government and really stick it to them and have a red hot crack. So we know that that's a yes.
But Dave,
it'll be the first thing we do. And I should say to Trevor, because he raises a good point, people don't quite realise at the moment how bad things are. If a court lets a young kid out and the court might say, well, you can't be out after 11 o'clock at night, you can't hang around young Tim because he's a bad influence, and you have to stay at Aunt Mary's house. If that person breaches any of those things, the coppers cannot hold them accountable until they steal another car, break into another home. That is madness. If you don't have conditions you can impose, it is a broken system, and it sends a signal to these little blokes that you're right to go, on your way.
And then you got a bloke dead on Newmarket Road. Scott from Jimboomer wants to know, and here's a good one, how do we make magistrates more accountable for softer sentencing and allowing repeat offenders out? How can we force them to keep these kids inside?
Scott, the Premier has tried this on and tried to blame magistrates, but let me make it really clear. The magistrates enforce the law that the government of the day puts in. Mm. And if the government of the law has a law that says detention has to be a last resort, if the government of the day says breach of bail isn't an offence, if the government of the day says there are no consequences for bad behaviour, well, don't blame the magistrates. Blame the bad politicians who set the laws for them to enforce. And I'm not going to let her off the hook on this. Don't. We set the laws. Parliament sets the laws. If you want tougher laws, look the politicians in the eye. And I can assure Queenslanders, I'm not going away on this. We are going to keep pushing until change comes. And if that takes an election in 2 years, so be it. I'd rather it happen now because it'll keep ripping families apart if we don't.
Dave, I agree with pretty much everything that's been said. Safety is paramount, and in the short term, we need to sort this out quickly. And in the long term, we need to look at solutions for making sure that these kids, it doesn't happen to them, that they grow up in these awful environments. But what would you say to people listening right now who are more on the compassionate side, who are thinking these children haven't done this to themselves? There's some of them are 8, 9, 10 years old. They come from ruined homes. Do we blame the kids? Where do you come down on that side of the argument with people who err on that side of really feeling for the children?
Yeah, to let them know that I'm serious about helping kids turn their life around. And you've got to get in early. You've got to give education. You've got to give employment. You've got to give them aspiration. And that will be a long-term play. Mm. But we also have a problem in the here and now. So it'd be like someone comes to you with a heart attack and you say to them, okay, eat this piece of celery and get healthy. Mm. Well, no, you've got a problem in the here
and
now.
Thank you.
They need to be treated right now, but in the long term, absolutely, encourage people to eat healthy.
We're happy with rehab, but you have to get into Parliament and you have to sort this out. You will be a hero to people if you can somehow pull this off.
Well, we aren't going away, I can assure you. And any time you want to get me on, I'm more than happy to chat. And more importantly, I want to thank your listeners for the barrage we have got in the last few weeks. As I said, this is something that I'm passionate about. And to see the way the community has responded just shows how much people are serious about it. Mm. And I think change is coming. One way or another, change is coming. So don't go away on this one.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate your time this morning. And as you heard, he's open to contact. So barrage, don't slide into those DMs. Yeah. Barrage into Dave Crisafulli's DMs and you can get in touch. And we'll talk to you over the coming months as well, mate. Good luck getting it all through when Parliament's back and keep on them.
Have a great day, guys. See you later.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbane as.
Next Tuesday, of course.
Valentine's
the
Day.
The day of love. Have a look at this one.
Oh, day after Super Bowl.
Keep yourself tidy. Valentine's Day will be big business. Many Australians flesh out the name of love. This is in the paper this morning. Australians expected to spend $500 million, half a billion dollars for the day of love.
Jesus.
Up 17%. See, COVID, no one feels
didn't love. Interest rates just go up again? So isn't that supposed to decrease our spending, not increase our spending?
There's no ceiling on love, what you can spend
my
on love.
My apologies.
What do you reckon? All right, quiz question. Buzz in when you want it. Well, how much shows couples will be spending an average of how much on gifts for each other? Yes.
$60.
I was going to go incorrect. $40.
Higher, pants on fire.
$80.
Yeah. More.
Hondo.
More.
What?
Between, yeah, each.
$118
they'll spend. So that's what, $59 each they'll be spending on each. Well,
which is what I said, $60.
Who'll be spending more?
Women.
Well, I said, how much are the couples? Women will spend more on the man.
On the man.
No.
No?
No.
My wife has never bought me anything ever for Valentine's Day.
Really?
Ditto
that. I mean, I don't buy her much. I'll get her little bits and pieces, but I've never got anything.
I spend more buy Corey a gift, but I also then buy myself a gift too.
Yes.
He buy you a gift as well?
And he buys me a gift.
So you get two.
But
one
I double
from
down just in case. To me, love me.
Okay. 6 days, that's great.
And I also buy myself
and you fall
flowers.
For it going, oh,
do you get them delivered to work so everyone sees?
Yeah.
From a mystery lover.
Listen, there's a few ideas because I know we haven't got enough ideas. There's a few. Who would buy their partner an Esky? Anyway, that's an idea.
You would love an Esky, Marto.
I've got enough Eskies.
If Kat bought you a Yeti, you would go nuts for it.
I've got enough good Eskies.
What about a loaded Esky?
Full of beer.
I'm the rum lord.
What if she filled one of your Eskies with beer and ice for you? Would you like that?
It'd be all right. But it's not. No, that's not what I'm heading here.
What?
Yeah, I'm suggesting things for other people, like the relaxation and sleep aid device. Isn't that what sex is for?
What is that, a CPAP machine?
What is all this? But here's the best one. Oh, personalised margarita packs.
Yes.
Margarita.
12-pack. 12-pack's too many for Valentine's Day. But here's the greatest of them all, and it's accessible to everyone. It's $8.50, okay? A personalised Heinz saucy sauce. Nothing says I love you like a personalised bottle of creamy mayonnaise with Heinz tomato ketchup. You can write this one's got Heinz, Mia and Tyson. You can write the couple's name on Heinz. We'll send it out to
tomato
you.
Tomato or barbecue?
Mayo.
No, it's tomato and creamy mayonnaise. So it must be the shit one that
they don't sell.
Yeah, the one they don't sell many of. So they're going, how are we going to get rid of all these bottles?
You know, nothing says I love you
I've
like
got one that
garlic
I think
Corey and Margo.
I think might top your sauce. Can what? I contribute?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
A zoo has introduced a rather different Valentine's Day package this year. For a small fee, they will name a cockroach after your ex and feed it to a meerkat.
How much they want?
How many can we do?
That's great.
Like she said, love is priceless.
You know, Heinz do the same thing for Christmas and the message is happy holidays.
Oh. Triple M Breakfast, don't you know, Marto,
Margo and Dan on the radio. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
I hope the media are happy with themselves. No one had the decency to let Andrew O'Keefe know that his fly was undone before they took a photo of him, either heading to or from court.
He was in. He went to court. I think some of it was dismissed yesterday. Did you see him? The Channel 9 cameras were just there after that photo was taken, and he dropped the shoulder in and bulldozed his way into
defense,
court.
Defense. I think he had Molly Meldrum's pants on, and they are, you know,
notoriously not gravity proof.
His fly. Not his fault.
Are you sure they weren't his pajama pants? No, like, you know, Willie's always falling out of them.
He's wearing a very casual chino-like a suit. It's not like a proper suit. He's wearing a green and blue tie. What's the rule? Blue and green should never be seen. Anyway, Andrew O'Keefe, take a look at yourself.
Do your fly up. Your peen should never be seen.
Fly up. Good news, though. Obviously not on TV anymore, considering his history and the details surrounding this case, which we won't speak of.
Remind everyone who's going. Who's Andrew O'Keefe? What show was he doing?
He was on The Chase. Channel 7's The Chaser, but he's in trouble for some domestic violence, alleged situation, which we don't need to talk about. What I want to talk about is his predecessor is the one, he's the predecessor, and who's the new person?
Successor.
Yeah. His successor, Larry Emdar. Come on down. The Price is Right.
What's he doing?
Sunrise on 7. Well, he's now
doing The Chaser.
With gear like this, he'll be there forever.
Pegging out an opponent's balls is a common tactic in which lawn game? A, bowls. B, croquet. C, quoits.
Well, Jesus.
Pegging out an opponent's balls.
Are you sure it's not what they do in New Zealand?
We talked about this earlier on the show.
That was not one of the options to answer.
What was the answer?
In which game would you peg out an opponent's balls?
Well, I've always wanted to try croquet because I figure you can have a glass of wine while you're going.
There's a new blog we didn't see coming.
Crocaine. Wouldn't that fire up those oldies? Yeah. Let's have a crocaine.
Just when you needed Andrew O'Keefe.
Where's he?
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M.
Hey, I just got this through. You know how we were talking before about that fire out the gateway?
Yeah, at the swamp there at Boondall.
Mate, I just went through Boondall about half hour ago. There was a fire in the swamp just before it links in with the Bruce Highway. So it's more Bracken Ridge-ish, I suppose. Wasn't that bad, but obviously picked up traffic at Boondall, la la la. So there is a little slow down there somewhere. Hey, and we were talking I reasoned that because we were talking about that crash the other day up the coast, and we went, how did people survive that crash? There was hit a truck in the front, then got shunted from behind. And then I asked you, have you ever had an incident? Because our producer, Snowy, said, the airbags would have gone off. And have you ever had an airbag go off?
No.
Dan, no.
No.
Margo, no. Myself, no. I've never seen one go off. I don't know anything about them.
Never been in an accident that bad, no.
Our producer, Snowy, who's the bloke you ring when you ring 133353, you speak to him first. He had, did he say five people in the car and they all went off? Everyone survived, but he's same thing. He hit a car's brake in front. There was a crash happened in front. He ran into that, got pounded from behind. Everything went off and he said that he was just all shit. All we want to do is do this.
CSI model.
We don't know enough about it, so I want people to ring in. I'm sure you know a lot more about airbags than we do, which is very little.
Airbags can do quite a bit of damage. The impact is quite forceful. I always thought it was like a soft blow,
like a balloon.
Like a comfy pillow to land on. But I believe it's quite impactive. You can actually have more damage from the impact of the airbag than the actual accident
itself. He had sunglasses on. He said it cut his face off.
They smashed him, apparently.
And it's embarrassing. You got all the powder from the airbags on you when you emerge from the wreck.
What is it like to be hit by an airbag?
And he said something interesting. When the airbags go off, your car is apparently a write-off.
Is that true, though?
Now, what happens?
Don't they just stuff them back in and put the cover back on?
Okay, a parachute.
What if you bump into a post in a parking garage, bang, your airbags go off? Oh, there's my $70,000 car's a write-off. Surely
no actual damage to it, just the airbags have gone off.
Righto, we need expertise. Feet on the ground, 133353, or the burner phone, Margo.
0484101045. Grant from Russell Island. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. We're trying to figure out what happens when an airbag goes off. Is there more impact damage than the actual airbag protecting you from the accident itself?
Yeah, well, mid-December, my mother, who's pretty elderly, she was driving up Maroochydore and turned right across the street and she got hit from the other end, sidewiped.
T-bone.
Yeah, they were only doing about 30K, and my daughter happened to be in the passenger seat, and it just basically dented the doors, but it was enough to send the seat airbag and the curtain airbag off.
What's the curtain airbag? Is that the one that comes from the front?
No. Up on top, as you're sitting there to your left and up above, you know, where your feet up to the starts, in the door frame.
So one comes at you from the front and one comes at you from the door.
Well, the one at the front didn't go off, it was just the side one, so they call them the side curtain airbags or whatever, but it was strong enough to tear her AC ligament in her shoulder.
Yeah, right.
It was a very minor accident, but, you know, the airbag certainly did more damage than what I needed to do. And the worst part of it all was, you know, my mother, you know, driven vehicle once on a Sunday, once a week sort of thing. You know, 7-year-old car, 9,000 kilometres is all she's done.
I love that. That's my mum too.
Yeah, it's like out of the showroom, but it's written off, you know, because...
So, Your daughter, Grant, damage from the airbag going off, not damage from the accident. So had that airbag not gone off, she would have been fine. Did she end up having to have surgery or medical assistance for the shoulder?
It was a number two tear. So number three is when they start doing surgery.
Hey, Grant, you said the car was a write-off. That's the bit that interests us.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Well, I ended up buying it back for $1,000. So,
yes, well, you know, played.
9,000K, I'll use it around the farm to deliver hay.
But written off what, because of the external damage from the impact of the other car or because the airbags went off?
Well, no real reason given, really. But, you know, at the end of the day, all it was the trim on the bottom of the car and two doors that need to replace them, really.
All right. But, Grant, we were wondering, can they repack the airbags, like, or is that
No, they got to put new ones in. They're like a cartridge thing.
They can reinstall them, though, Grant.
They can reinstall them, but they are expensive. You know, it's like these guys ripping off bloody, catalytic converters underneath the cars. They're just worth so much money, you know. Yeah. It's just a small bit of the thing. And, you know, any advantage they can, they will.
Thanks for advancing our knowledge, Grant.
Your daughter would be like, can you not install the new airbag, given that was, like, I'd rather
I'd be
car...
safer without them,
that's
it
what
seems.
She'd be feeling.
Here's Paul from Carrida. Hi, Paul.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, what happened when the airbags went off?
We were coming down Creek Road, and basically I dropped the missus at the bridge to Brisbane, coming down Creek Road towards Wynnum Road, and someone pulled across in front of me. At the time, I was just looking over my shoulder to make sure there was no one inside me to change lanes, and it just, bang, the car exploded. It was a bit of a shock, and all of a sudden I think, Jesus, the car's on fire. I had the kids in the back, and they were in their pyjamas, so I just quickly got out of the car and just grabbed them and chucked them out of the car and sat on the side of the road.
What made you think the car was on fire? What do you mean?
Because of the powder. It's just the car just gets covered in the powder from the explosion from the airbag.
That's what Snowy, our producer, said. The exact same thing, Paul. He thought the car was on fire because it was so smoky in there because of the cartridges exploding and everything coming out.
How were the kids?
They were in a bit of a shock. They're going, what the hell happened? Because they were just in their back, they were about 8 and 10 at the time, so... Yeah. Are in a bit of a shock, but I just sat on the road for a while, got my thoughts together, and then rang Triple O, and then rang my brother-in-law to come and get the kids, and I just had to stay off the car. But like, there was, I think the insurance quote was about $26,000. It was a Mitsubishi Pajero, only about 10 months old.
Yeah,
we got hit right in the middle of the engine block, which probably took a lot of the blow, but only the two front airbags went off. But when I looked at the car, there was, like, all the seatbelt restraining mechanisms that fired to pull you into the seats.
Yeah.
So there would have been a lot more damage than that. But, they insured it and what was insured, and they rebuilt it. So I wasn't happy about it, but what do you do?
So not a write-off.
No, it wasn't. Like I said, the car was probably about 50 grand, and it was over half the cost of the repairs to, repair it.
And to the airbags, is that right? They just pack new cartridges. They take that one out and just pack a newie.
Yeah, well, they're a cartridge under your steering wheel cover and in the dash. The one in the dash was a bit more complicated because it's got a tear-out panel. I don't know if you're looking and you can see a little cross section on the front of your dash and on the glove box.
Tear away.
That's where the airbag explodes from. So they have to replace the whole dash and everything. So,
Paul, how quickly do the airbags go down after they go off? Is it a quick deflate?
Well, from what I remember, I was, like I said, I was looking to the left a little bit. So I hit and got a bit of whiplash, but I don't remember the airbag going down. When I looked, there was just smoke and the airbags deflated. So,
yeah, so pretty quickly.
Probably within a microsecond, that's what they're designed to do. So.
Okay,
interesting.
But it's just the initial shock.
All right, Paul, thanks for the call.
Airbags going off.
Put your foot on the brakes. No
worries. Yeah. Airbags going off doesn't equate to a write-off, which was one of the questions you were after, Marta, because in both of those cases.
Just fix it up.
Yeah.
Pack them back in and sort it out.
Okay, job done.
Good CSI-ing team.
Yeah, I know enough about airbags now.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
Jack Whiten, Latrell Mitchell. They've been in a little bit of trouble over the last week, it's fair to say.
They apologised.
A fun little wrestle. People took it out of context is what they're saying. They ended up in the clink.
Together the next morning.
That's right.
Mum picked them up. They had a nice little family brekkie. They're besties.
Well, now they're on holiday together. Well, they're over there for work. They've gone to Rotorua to play the Maori All-Stars, the Indigenous All-Stars.
Huge game, isn't it, that one?
It's a wonderful welcome over there. Have a listen.
Two cultures coming together.
I think what that is that bloke putting his shoulder out on those bagpipes.
My shoulders!
Poor fella.
So they had the welcome and they all touched noses, the traditional Maori welcome, and there was a bit of a haka and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, all that gear. There was one bit that did confuse me, though. I don't know if the Indigenous All-Stars have a sort of strange idea of what you do with blokes who come to fisticuffs, of how you get them to reconcile their relationship, but there was... I could be taking this out of context. Just listen to this and tell me what this is about.
A welcome distraction to distract from Latrell Mitchell and Jack Whiten's weekend arrest. The pair taking in a traditional puffery.
The ball puffery.
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 Potpourri?
No, I think it was puffery.
Puffery. Is it?
I think that's when you just hug tightly.
Careful.
And,
is that
and
wrestling?
Rub up and down. Yeah, that's wrestling. And in the nude.
That's, so two that's blokes who fight, then you do a bit of
puffery.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what it is?
I love how he rolled his R too.
Do you actually know the answer?
I didn't until...
What puffery is.
I didn't until a minute 35 ago when... Graham Snow, our wonderful sportistic producer, ran in a piece of paper.
Is this what Captain James Cook and the Maoris did when he first landed there in 1770?
Puffery.
Did they hug each other?
It is spelt P-O-W-H-I-R-I.
H-R-I.
So you would read it as Pauhiri.
Ah. Oh.
But it's pronounced...
Puffery.
Okay.
I do like to pronounce things differently, Wakatane. Wakatane.
Yeah, which you're allowed to say.
Which you're allowed to say because it's a place.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah, what, tell me more.
It's a Maori welcome. It includes speeches, dancing, singing, and the hungi.
Oh, the whole puffery.
Puffery.
And if you're on the edge, if you're right on the edge, you're on the periphery of the puffery. Correct?
Correct.
Say that three times really fast.
Yeah, periphery, puffery.
Mart, I was thinking you and I could work in our relationship every morning, every time we come in, get up to a bit of
puffery. Oh,
bit of puffery in the studio.
Yeah, you can't get involved.
Is there a Mardi Gras on this weekend down in Sydney? There'll be some puffery.
Harley Breed, his humour ain't clean. With his handlebar moustache, he looks mean. It's Harley Breed.
One bloke who, unfortunately for all the ladies in Brisbane, is off the market.
Is he butt, though? Well,
shop's
Harley.
Closed.
Izzy
shop is closed.
How's counselling going?
Everybody has a price.
Boring. Hello, Harley.
How are you guys? Happy Wednesday. It's taken us a while to get me on air this morning. I've been stuck in this little gimp closet down here in Melbourne town, but I'm fired up, ready to go. I'll tell you what, it's been a busy time at the Breen household. High school has fired up. My big kid's second week of high school, and he has taken it to it like a duck to sweary water. You know, like he's come home very, very sharp-witted and with some new words. In general, I think it's good, but I think in retelling the other night, I think I might have come up with a saying, and I want to run it by you guys and see whether you've heard it before, because it just came out of like the recesses of my brain, and I said it like it was a saying, and then afterwards I'm like, I don't know if that's a saying. So, you know, school's been great. In fact, a little shout out to the big fella. He won a community award for helping out other students in his first week.
Already?
Well done.
Yeah, he was helping them navigate their lockers. And he told me later, he goes, I just wanted to see what they had in them, Dad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hold on. Did he pick their lock to open up their lockers?
He probably did.
Or the girl perhaps he was interested in, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, possibly. Also, I've got to say, dropping your kid off at high school is pretty intense on the senses, because teenage boys will just put a whole can of Africa all over them.
Oh, is that still a thing?
It is.
It
is hectic, mate.
Or back in the day, Africa or Jupe?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been to Africa and it doesn't smell like that. That is rancid. But anyway, we're in the backyard the other night and he's demanding that I get him a mouse for the computer, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, I need a mouse, Dad. I can't do all of my work at school if I don't have a mouse. It's got a trackpad on it, right? And I said, mate, you've got a phone, you've got an iPad, you've got a laptop. In my day, we had a pencil and a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, yeah, well, the world's advanced a bit since then, old man. And I looked at him and just went, yeah, you know what?
Cheap.
I just went, you know what? In my day, we'd just nail our dicks to a bird and get over it. Do you reckon I came up with that? Do you reckon anyone's ever said that?
Nail our dicks to a bird.
And got over it.
And get over it.
Just the imagery, I think I'm going to put it on a T-shirt.
Bird flapping its wings.
What kind of bird?
I can't take off.
Giant. Just dragging a man over a mountain
Big
from the
brolga.
Crotch.
Just a passing condor.
Listen, guys, on a serious note, I've got a plug to do. I'm fully invested in this as well. I want to plug my brother's farm. Now, I've spoken to you guys about it before.
At least it's not a caravan this time.
It's not a caravan. I know. I know I take the piss, but this is serious. Echo Valley Farms, those who have tried the eggs know they're the best eggs in the business. He's a regenerative farmer. There's a whole lot to talk about there, but basically he's at the next stage of his farm where he's building a boning and packing room, which is ironically what Margot and Corey call their bedroom.
Yeah, it's the red room.
Hello. That's good gear from you.
But basically he's building an on-farm butchery. Now, he's already spent $85,000 on it. Now, I don't know if you know much about farmers, but they don't have a lot of spare cash, especially over the last few years. Don't know if you've been watching what's going on in the environment, but floods, fires, mouse plagues. It's been a rough time, but it will be a better thing for his farm and a better thing for the consumer if he has the ability to process the meat on farm. And he follows a whole process of things that he came up with called the four goods. So all the decisions he makes on land is what's good for the land, good for the animal, is good for the farmer, and then good for the consumer. And
that's definitely
the case with this butchery. And people can get on board because they need another 80K to finish it off. I know it's a lot of money, and there's a lot of small holding farmers like my brother that just can't raise that sort of cash. So he's throwing it out to the community to back it. And there's all sorts of ways that you can support it. You can buy a little artwork. You can do a farm tour. But I've got to say, for those listening, what was that?
Drug dealing.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Whatever trips your trigger. Prohibition doesn't work. But whoever's listening in the car, I guarantee you're going to be in this right at the end because you know these sort of crowdfunding things. They have different tiers.
I don't get them really. Do they have a return?
Yeah, so you can throw in $25 and get yourself a calendar. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. Or, Marto, you're going to love this, and there's only a few left. You can throw in $2,000 and buy a stud pig.
Uh-huh.
Now, for that, what you get is
talking. This is better than the racehorse.
So Marto gets a pig.
So you get a pig. It's a Duroc stud pig. It's $2,000, and then obviously you can't take the pig home. I can just picture some reprobates driving around at the moment. Listen to this, going, I'm going to get a pig.
But can Marto take it to Dooman because it will run faster than
his horse that I have?
Well, what happens is all the little piglets that it throws out, you get 50% of the return of those piglets, and then likewise, you could also buy a brain. Angus stud cow. That's a Brahman Angus mix, very hardy cow. For $5,000, same thing, all its progeny, you get 50% off.
You're syndicating pigs and cattle.
Meat. This is
you're
like syndicating a meat.
Syndicating meat.
That's right.
It's MLM, but it's...
And I'm going to tell you, there's only 3 days into this campaign. They've already achieved 21% of their target. There are only 2 Duroc stud pigs left. There are only 3 Brangus stud cows left. So if you want to...
What's a Brangus? Brahman Angus.
Oh, yeah, very, very hardy, good meat.
When I bought my Thermomix, they threw in a second bowl at a discounted price. Yeah. What's the deal?
I'll throw in a dozen chickens.
bacon and eggs.
If our horse if my horse doesn't run any good the next couple of runs, the butchery thing.
Are you going to pull your 0.1% out of the horse and put it into a Brangus?
No. Yeah, if you fund the butchery, you bring your horse around the...
We can take
around
the
boning yard.
Multiple problems
and
here,
mate.
Yeah. All right, good on you, Harley. We'll talk to you next week, legend.
Good on you guys. Thank you. It's Marto and Margo and Dan on Triple M. Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan.
month of love, gentlemen. It is February, Valentine's Day next Tuesday, public service announcement. Trading for a lady is happening at the end of the month. And maybe, ladies, you're into a tradie that likes to do a bit of yoga.
Could tradies be swapping smoko for stretching? A video of Brisbane workers limbering up at a Hamilton site has gone viral after fitness guru Lorna Jane posted it to her Instagram, captioned tradie yoga. Company Fulton Hogan says it's part of the team's morning routine.
Don't tell me she's going to get involved. They're all going to be in Lycra, high-vis.
High-vis Lycra.
too much.
You know, what suburb was that, well, Margo?
That was in Hamilton, just down the road from you, Marto.
Where are you, Greg?
Oh, I saw the video, and there's guys, if you don't know, at the, most mornings there's toolbox meetings at a quarter to seven or so, start work at seven, but you're telling me this was around then. They must have had the toolbox meeting, and then about a dozen of them have done some stretching and...
Great OH&S, they're saying. semicircle-type situation. There's a lot of stretching, bit a few yoga poses, downward dog involved.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, were they on the ground as well?
Yeah, the best part was when they panned to the crew, because they had, you know, like seven or ten. 9 and 10 out there, you know, filming them after it was brought to their attention by Lorna Jane, the activewear creator, that when they reach up to the sky, all their shirts lift up and their guts hang out the bottom.
A little bum at the back.
A little belly bum.
Oh, are you trade shaming?
I was, yes.
I think we need to rebrand it, though. You can't do downward facing dog. Surely it's going to be downward facing drill, salute the saw. And I've run out of yoga positions to rebrand with
tools. You've done more anymore. Yoga than I have.
I've done two.
But and good to see them looking after their health and starting their day. Bit of stretching.
And then straight into the ice breaking pie.
Bit of mindfulness.
Right. They've already had two pies.
It's all
pies
about balance.
And a monster energy drink.
Downward facing beef, bacon, cheese.
Yeah.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. Brisbane ass.
I got a bit of an afternoon slash evening tonight at the Pineapple Hotel. You know, the Piney over there at Kangaroo Point.
Yeah, out on the town tonight, Marto.
Yes. I don't often
do midweek shenanigans. Midweek,
but it's the relaunch of Powers Bitter, one of the great beers of the 1980s.
And Powers.
Can we do this?
Triple M Breakfasts. Remember Wednesday.
Remember Wednesday. We haven't done this for a while, but yesterday afternoon, so I ring Bernie Power. I love Bernie.
Is that who Power's beer is named after?
Oh, God, righto. Well, I'm going to have to give the history lesson. Everyone gather around.
Grab some carpet, Margo.
I only can think of, is it Power's was on a jersey?
Of the Broncos. They were the first sponsor of the Broncos.
Broncos. Okay.
Do you know the Broncos? Tell Corey this one. The Broncos didn't at halftime. They didn't used to go into the dressing room. They'd stand out on the field for 10 minutes and they'd cover them in the 6-foot-high curtain that just said Powers Bitter. And when the Broncos started, what year did the Broncos start?
88.
1988. There was Powers Bitter, but there was no Powers Bitter in the stores. It hadn't started. They didn't make the first beer for us to drink until September, October, 1988.
Just teasing us.
That whole year was, a teasing campaign. And we always went, because it was across the front of the Broncos jersey, and, of course, they won the first game.
Everyone's
I was there
like,
against
what's
Manly.
What's Powers think?
That what's Powers Bitter? So, where are we going to get it? Where are we going to get it? A whole year. A whole
not exist. Not, was it in New South Wales or it just
was nowhere?
It was nothing.
All right.
Gee, that first week, they must have sold a lot of beer because that's a hell of a lead up.
All right. They went from there within a year and a half, they own 15% of the Queensland beer market. Can you imagine? Because everyone was tonguing for one of these Powers. Because all we had. All right. Can I explain to everyone? 133353. If anyone else wants to get involved, add their two bobs worth. We will take it through after the news if we need. What happened? In 1985, there was a thing called the Beer Wars. There's only two beers in Brisbane. There was 4X, and everything was 4X. They probably had 80, 90% of the market.
4X bitter, not or gold you, by then? Gold wasn't a thing
the
then?
Gold hadn't been invented.
Yeah, that's right.
We were 0.08. We could still drive at 0.08, which meant you could drink three heavies and still motor on home. We'll get to the news eventually. I may have to come back with some of this because what happened? Alan Bond, have you ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He owned Swan Brewery over in WA. He bought 4X. What bought 4X? Carl Simone Perkins bought them and they were in every pub. The only other beer you get was Foster's and everyone went, oh, that's cat's piss. So they bought 4X and And then he, what did he do? He made hoteliers, he said, righto, instead of, they used to have monthly accounts, you could pay us by the month. Weekly, he's looking to cash in because he paid too much money. Hoteliers went mad, especially Bernie Power. He said, no, get stuffed, I'm going to start my own brewery. That was in about 1985 or 6. Started his own brewery down at Yatala, bought 30 hectares there, where the CUB brewery is now. Bought 30 hectares, what a brilliant man Bernie Power is, and started his own brewery. It was world class, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that's when his mate said, oh, we're starting the Broncos, the Brisbane Broncos. What's the Brisbane Broncos? The new rugby league team. We're going to get the license. They started them. He said, I'll sponsor it. And they said, where's your beer? He said, it'll be along soon.
So, I don't have it yet.
They played the first season. Right. So then, as I said to you, I'll try to abbreviate all this. By 1991, you know where you enter the Story Bridge on the Fortitude Valley end? Just on the left there used to be CUB, Carlton United Brewery, yes, where they made Foster's. That was a brewery, but it was old and it was tiny. They said, hey, that power bloke who hates Forex, he went down the road and built that brewery. They said, can you start brewing Foster's down there? We can get rid of that little site, the little brewery that used to be near, well, just above Howard Smith Wharves. There was that was Carlton's brewery.
They brew beer now there as well. Is that a hark back to
well,
the old
92,
days?
Well, they're 92, so he linked in. By 93, and they've got the market. They had, you know, they had such a good part of the market. CUB came in and bought Bernie Power out completely and said, we're shipping our whole thing. And that's the biggest brewery in Australia.
So is Power still a beer?
It's starting again tonight, from what I understand. But Bernie Power said, I won't come on the show and steal their thunder. Might get him for tomorrow.
So they originally were based around an NRL club.
So CUB still own Powers?
Well, Powers just disappeared because CUB went, oh, bugger that, we'll bring our southern brands. And we end up, when you went into a bottle shop in the old days, Margo, there was no decision to make. There was no other beers. And you know how you're going now, there's 60, 100 beers and you're blowing away. You used to go in there, you'd get a carton of 4X bitter. That was all there
Foster's?
Was. Or you had Foster's.
That's why overseas they think we all drink Foster's because we do it.
Powers came in. Tooies.
Everything. Every craft beer in the world. There was no craft beer that wasn't invented at that time.
My question is Powers back now because they can jump on this bandwagon? We're the Dolphins.
If anyone's got anything to add to the Powers revolution, we've got to take the news. I spoke for too long. Sorry about that.
We remember Wednesday. 133353 if you want to chip in on the Powers discussion.
Andy from Tarragindi.
How you going, Margo?
Yeah, good mate. Well? It's Wednesday. We're remembering when. What do you remember?
I'm with Marto on this one. I mean, I remember all that marketing stuff that was coming out for months and months and months. I was a young soldier out at Anagra Barracks at the time. And we're going, where's this beer? What's this beer? Where is it? We got to get this beer.
Yes.
And we couldn't find it. And then eventually it came out. Eventually it came out and we were all over it.
Can I ask you honestly, Andy, I can't remember whether it tastes any good because I don't think I had a very good beer palate. I'd drink anything that was cold. What do you reckon?
Well, there's the kicker, Marto. I mean, we were all over it. It was a thing before things were a thing.
Yes.
And then we realised this isn't that good.
Oh, you know what else was? Andy, I just realised Brisbane Bitter was in there too. Well, it was Brisbane Bitter and 4X.
Mate.
That's all you could get. And then there was then Powers came along and we went, thank God. And then we went, is it any better?
You showed us that Brisbane Bitter ad too.
But 80s. I showed you the Powers ad. There's a lot of bums and bikinis in
jet skis.
The 80s were a very sexy period of life.
Andy, was it similar to 4X Bitter, the taste?
Yeah, it was kind of, but that's why we went back to Bitter because we just realised it really wasn't the mother's milk that we'd been hoping for.
Well, they brought out the Powers Light about 12 months and then they brought out Gold as well.
Was there a Powers Light?
Yeah, they had a Powers Light and then they had a Powers Gold.
Jesus.
Kelly in Forest Lake, Marto, wants to remember Wednesday with you.
Yeah, hey, Kelly, just listen to this one. Cole from Wynnum says, Alan Bond, and I'm saying he bought 4X Brewery and there was a lot of backlash, but he's claiming that they put product of WA on the 4X cans and that's why we changed. Do you remember any of that, Kelly?
No, look, what I remember is there was a big beer strike and you couldn't buy 4X because they were all on strike.
Yeah, something
and
happened.
And that really helped.
Why?
Yeah, and that just helped. The unions got involved. They just all went out on strike and you could not buy 4X.
But you could
and
get
I
Powers,
remember,
couldn't you?
No, you could get Powers and my dad just got the absolute whoop with that and said, well, I'm not drinking 4X anymore. I'm a coward.
Oh. Hey, breaking news here, Marto, Margo.
Yeah.
Power's gold. It's in stock currently, $46 for a 30 block.
Well, I'm going to have to go to this launch tonight. If they're saying that
what's going on.
No, they're relaunching. No.
It's work,
if
is it?
If they're relaunching it and it's already in sale, what's going on there?
Well, the brewery down at Yatala is one of the CUB's most successful breweries.
Oh, yeah.
They're brewing 400 million litres of beer a year out of that at Yatala.
Seems like enough. Is that enough?
I don't know. You'll drink some of it tonight, I'm sure, and let us know.
Just for the people of Tanimera.
This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto, Margo and Dan. Brisbane as.
You got to go to triplem.com.au on the win page and we will sort you out with the love of your life. Adam from Camp Hill can attest. We've spoken to him a couple of times. He's now married with 5 children. He has never forgiven Triple M for that or because of a past tradie for a lady.
And we love beer, like you just mentioned, but we also love and we love trying to, you know, get our listeners on board and find them their love story.
And it works. It puts like-minded people face-to-face. I like tradies. I like girls. Bang.
People know what they're looking for. They just don't know where to go. And we're going to host Brisbane's biggest singles party for our tradies and our ladies and our lady tradies and our blokes.
You mentioned the lady tradie. We just had Karen on a sec ago. She's been attentioning. She played our quiz. She is a lady tradie. So anyone can register like Tom in Mitchelton did. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Tom, tell us the Tom story.
I guess I'm 35. I work as an account manager. I sell pipe fittings. I like to keep pretty active, pretty relaxed kind of guy. Don't take myself too seriously, I guess.
Righto.
Right, you sound all right, Tom. Relatively lively, like you got a bit of a pulse. What are you looking for in a lady or a tradie lady, perhaps?
I guess someone kind of similar to me, doesn't take themselves too seriously, doesn't mind getting out and about and keeping active on weekends, but at the same time doesn't mind kind of slowing things down a little and enjoy a weekend at home at the same time.
35. Now, I used to have a saying when myself and my mates were 35 and I had 4 that are still single. Into their 50s.
Oh. If you haven't found someone by 35, you never will.
I believe you're too independent and you can never be tamed. What do you reckon about that theory, Tom?
Oh, I've always been pretty independent, so maybe that's why I'm still single.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You never really know until you put yourself out there, I guess.
But there are nights when you put your head down on the pillow, it gets a bit lonely.
It's lonely.
Oh, yeah, from time to time, for sure.
This is taking a pretty good side.
Anyway.
Tom, we've sorted you out. Yeah, Margo, do you want to tell
we
Tom?
We saw your entry and we went, wow.
We saw your
online
submission, Tom, and sometimes our blokes aren't very,
forthcoming
and, you know, they don't like to talk themselves up. And so we thought that we would maybe
all Aussie men are.
Prepare something for you on your behalf to sell yourself to the ladies of Brisbane.
You ready, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, ladies. Tired of dating men with softer hands than yours? Looking for a man who knows his way around the kitchen but is still fit enough to see his toes? Longing for a lager man who's not a craft beer drinking wanker? Meet Pipe Fitter Tom, a man so chiseled. He makes Sonny Bill Williams look like a bum. A border collie owning man's man who loves mountain biking, hiking, and throwing giant axes at tiny targets.
What?
And did we mention he's a pipe fitter? There's not a hole that he hasn't found a way to plug. Call Tom now. 133353.
Tom.
Lost the plot at the end there.
How's that sound, Tom?
Border collie.
Sums it up.
Yeah. You guys done pretty well there.
Axe throwing. That dog's great, but axe throwing, Tom?
Oh, well, no, that's kind of like my ideal date, you know, a bit of an activity and then a drink after and something like that.
A bit of fun, maniacs or something like that. Tom, you are a lager man over a craft beer kind of guy.
Yeah, definitely. I used to drink a bit of craft beer pale ales, but, you know, just going back to the lagers now, so keep it simple.
Sounds like a catch with those chiselled abs. Jesus. Right. Sonny Bill Williams, move welcome. Over.
Got a mate to come with, Tom.
I got a friend I'll drag along, so it should be a good night, I think.
Single, or are you going to bring someone taken so they don't muddy the waters?
No, he's single as well, so.
Yeah, okay, I'm the proud.
Yeah, in it to win it.
Okay. Something for everybody.
All right.
I like it.
If you want to meet Tom, and why wouldn't you after that pump up, triplem.com.au on the win page. We'll see you at Triple M's Tradie for a Lady, Tom.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Marto, Margo and Dan on Triple M Breakfast. They're Brisbane as.
Hey, talking cruise industry, as I sometimes do, I'm often in the Brisbane River. I saw a boat pull out on Sunday or Monday. There was one pulling out and then another one pulling in. There's cruise ships going left, right and centre.
Baby, let's cruise.
If you haven't been to near the mouth of the Brisbane River, we have. During COVID, they built $1 billion, I don't know how many hundreds of millions it cost, a new arrival port. Facility, I suppose you'd call it, and there are cruise ships coming and going nearly every day, and of course it was only Monday and also yesterday we thought that Cyclone Freddy was going to hit the Queensland coast.
Yes,
it'll probably be Cyclone Gabriel, or Gabrielle. It'll probably be named later
maybe
on tonight.
Maybe Herman if Gabriel gets nicked. Could
though
be Herman.
It hasn't formed into the cyclone, but I tell you what, the cruise industry has taken it very seriously. I wondered about this when I saw the big ship pull out. I go, wonder where they're going. And I checked its progress, the Coral Princess. It was heading to Auckland. I thought, good luck with that. But this other one, the Quantum of the Seas, they were leaving yesterday and they're all in their Hawaiian shirts their South Pacific, 8-day South Pacific tour. And then this bloke came along with his loud hailer and spoiled their party a bit.
Please be aware the itinerary for this cruise has changed.
There's been a change. They were emailed who checks their emails? You're about to go overseas on your big cruise. I better check my emails.
Where were they going initially? Hawaiian shirts?
They were going to Vanuatu.
Lovely. Oh. Where are they going now? Niumea or something? Somewhere nice and tropical?
No, spring? That's out near where the cyclone is as well.
Sunshine Coast?
No.
Yeah, Cairns?
No. They're going to Hobart.
South.
Yeah, Hobart.
Not so tropical.
They didn't check their emails, some of them.
Have they told you yet that you're changing course and not going?
Not yet. I had suspected that they would be telling us that when we got on board.
See, a clever, smart woman and these guys.
Well, there's been a change, Hobart to Sydney. So how do you feel about that? It's a bit different to the tropical island.
You're joking.
No, they're not joking.
They're not joking.
You don't have a jumper, do you? And then there's these guys.
Have you packed the right clothes?
Yeah, kind of. We'll be very cold in Hobart, though, that's for sure.
Sydney. So going back to Sydney on our holiday, you know, isn't ideal,
Did you hear those last ones?
So they came from Sydney
to Brisbane.
They flew
to Sydney to catch the cruise to go to Vanuatu and back, and they're off to Sydney, then Hobart.
Do you want to know the temp in Hobart right now?
Yes, please.
13.
Vanuatu, I checked, was 29, a sultry 29 degrees.
There would never have been more Hawaiian shirts in Mona.
Yeah.
History.
All right, if you're going, righto, well, the company had to make that decision, probably the right decision, because I'm sure 5 days or 8 days at sea is monstrous.
Boring.
Sydney to Hobart.
I know, have a go. I'm with you. Have a go.
Just put a hammer down and grind the waves.
Isn't Sydney to Hobart that yacht race? Isn't that pretty
hectic? Oh, well, if there's a terrible swell and wind of 100 kilometres
They're
an
on
hour.
Tiny boats, is what I remember.
These things are big.
We're on the Quantum of the Seas. Come on, let's go.
Charge forward.
Come on, what's Cyclone Herman going to do?
That's my policy. I should have had a go.
Yes, and
I'd have a go. And the captain, just you'll have to hang on for the next 8 days or so. But
stay inside.
Then you go, righto, you got to get down there. You got to get home as well. And then Gary Youngbury chimes in, you know, the weather guy off Channel 9. Oh, it's not going to be
not good.
The best place to hide definitely in the coming days will be Tasmania. But there'll be a rather large cyclonic swell they'll be heading back into as they make their return.
Jeez.
Fly home. Even if it's Jetstar, fly home.
Bonza, mate. Get on the website, get it cheap.